Hans-Georg Ziber, Professor of Practical Theology, Religious Education at the University of Theology, at the Faculty of Theology at the University of Würzburg. He did a lot of research on religion and human rights. I just quote, I mean, there is a list of researches, so I quote just the found he got 2012-2017, Religion and Human Rights, an international empirical study in about 30 countries. And he's the editor-in-chief of the Brill series Empirical Research in Religion and Human Rights, where they published already 4 volumes, but I know then there are other one, two.
There are 2 are so good as printed.
Good. So he's an expert on this field, and he gives me the chance to remind you that the first plenary was intended to be more theoretical. The second plenary is intended to be more empirical. So now he will make clear that in this session we have more empirical presentation. Thank you, Hans-Georg.
Buonasera, signori e signore, cari colleghi. I have to sit here, and otherwise I have problems with the microphone, so I cannot see people. Hello? At the end, but so maybe you come a bit forward, as already Laurie mentioned. So now we move a bit to a quantitative kind type of research, and the title of my presentation here is Human Dignity, the Foundation of Political Human Rights, question remark. And I will just show you that this project is a part of this network, what Giuseppe mentioned, Religion and Human Rights Project. So we started with focus on Europe, but more and more colleagues were interested, and so this network grew, and not all of them are equal active and have done the fieldwork, but more or less in 25 countries we have data. And yesterday night I got the data from Moldova, so we are still busy to construct the international database, and until now we are publishing mainly on national data. So that is a network. We have samples between 600 and 2,000, a bit dependent from the country and from the possibility there. And there's also a website where we have some information. So all in all, I think we will have between the 25,000 interviews at the end. And for the rest of my career, and also last night, we can publish on these data. So two colleagues from this network are also here, Olga Beskaya and Leslie Francis, and I think who followed the presentation from Olga already knows a little bit from this project. It's a quantitative project. That means we share in all the countries the same questionnaire. Some countries have added their own items, but that is what we all have in common. So what we call the dependent variables, so what is in the focus of the project, that are human rights, and what you see here, civil rights, right to life, etc., contains about 60 items, and not values on human rights, but human rights as statements. 60 items and the rest, so we are interested in the relation between religion and human rights, of course, so we have a lot of items. Or here in Italy, I can use the Latin word item, it's not necessary to say item. So we have a lot of religious concepts operationalized. Well, it's of course, and the perception of state democracy and these issues, and a lot of background characteristics to describe the sample. So that is what we have in common. And I use now political rights, so only 6 items from this group. And the main relation I want to show is in how far well the concept of human dignity predicts political human rights. The series was mentioned, a flyer is outside, and I start with my paper. So, a word at the beginning, empirical research on human rights does not question the legal status of human rights. That is important, and we are not producing on the first step normativity on human rights. That is not our interest, but we reflect on normativity which is living in our societies. So, what we do is research on the perception and assessment of rights by people. It shows how certain rights are legitimated bottom up. Why is it necessary? International treaties secure the validity of human rights, but if we want to build up a human rights culture, we are dependent also that people support these rights, understand these rights and support these rights, and to find out in how far they support and agree with rights, we do this kind of research. When I say political rights, I have three groups: refugee rights, right to vote, assembly and to protest. First, some words to these concepts. Refugee rights. For several years now, Europe's policy regarding foreigners has been in a state of crisis. We can say populist parties have recorded gains in many countries, not least because of their attitude towards aliens. When talking about foreigners or aliens, such references are mainly to people who are already in the country or who could be described as being undeported. In the meantime, however, the crisis has been exacerbating, and besides the usual quota of immigrants, from month to month there are new records in the number of economic migrants and political refugees. Some of the countries are barely prepared to accommodate the growing number of people, as we know, and these societies there in these societies we find as well support by people, but also loud protest, and even also protest in countries who have no refugees. And there's an increasing number of attacks on homes occupied by refugees and migrants. So we all know this news from the last months or last year. In Article 12 of the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, it states that everyone lawfully within the territory of a state shall, within that territory, have the right to liberty of movement and freedom to choose his residence. And everyone shall be free to leave any country, including his own. Refugees must receive the same treatment as it accorded to aliens generally, with regard to, among others, the right to choose the living place and to move freely within the country. Given the masses of people that are pushing to Europe, these rights are now being put to the test. This present situation underpins the relevance to examine people's attitudes towards refugee rights. As this research project was launched, the extent of refugee inflow was not yet known. Furthermore, the questions we wanted to answer were somewhat general. We wanted to explore how young people respond to claims that the government should guarantee political refugees freedom to travel, to provide them with a decent standard of living. The second, the right to vote. People who have received the permit of residence have achieved an important formal status, but to what extent they are allowed to participate in political and social life? A fundamental form of participation in democracy is voting in elections and the possibility of putting oneself forward as a candidate in an election. Should foreigners also enjoy these rights? The Convention on Participation of Foreigners in Public Life at Local Level from 1992 grants to every foreign resident the right to vote and to stand for elections in local elections. And the relevant articles of the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, they do not use the term foreigner, but the term citizen, the right to vote and to take part in elections is regulated there in Article 25. So, there is a lot of documents who really support, not to forget to integrate these people also by letting them participate in this democratic procedure. The active and passive right to vote is the second content of our research. How do youth in Germany answer to these questions? Should people living in the country for the period prescribed by law have the right to vote for political leaders, or should they have the right to run for public office? And third, the right to assembly and to protest. Significant way of expressing opinion and shaping solidarity among people with common concern is assembly and protest. Article 11 of the European Convention on Human Rights provides everyone has the right to freedom of peaceful assembly, and no restrictions shall be placed on the exercise of these rights other than such are prescribed by law and are necessary in a democratic society. The European Commission for Democracy through Law 2010 admits in its guidelines on freedom of peaceful assembly that the legal regulation of freedom of assembly is a complex matter. According to Article 1 of this paper, freedom of peaceful assembly is a fundamental human right which can be enjoyed and exercised by individuals and groups. Assemblies may serve many purposes, including the expression of diverse, unpopular and minority opinions. The hurdle for banning or restriction demonstrations is intentionally set high. Politics has to respect the right to freedom of expression, even if this protest is directed against government policy or its political decisions. A peaceful demonstration may not be prevented because the position held by the demonstrators is inconvenient or stirs up conflict. What is the attitude of German youth towards these rights? Do you think that demonstration, etc., should be allowed, then we can expect that the majority will say yes. So we forced this issue and made it a bit more controversial. Should the right to protest also be protected if, for example, public order is in danger? How do respondents react to the statement that the executive may not use force against political demonstrations, no matter how controversial they might be and if public safety becomes endangered? So, these are the items I want to show first how young people react to it, but what predicts attitudes of young people to these rights? That is the second question. And I want to invent human dignity as a concept because we find the term human dignity, the concept human dignity, in all treaties regarding human rights. And this theoretical normative statement of human dignity makes no attempt to check the empirical evidence. So we can read that in all the conventions, but what is the empirical evidence of it? We therefore have to ask the question, is the concept of human dignity also empirically important with regard, in this case, to attitudes towards political human rights? Since 1948, several declarations of human rights have referred to human dignity as a key concept for human rights, or even their very foundation. The Universal Declaration uses the term inherent dignity in its preamble and calls it the foundation for freedom, justice, peace in the world. Similarly, the International Covenant on Economic, Social, Cultural Rights, also there, human dignity is the foundation of the rights following this covenant. Human dignity is also the subject matter of the preamble and Article 1 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights in the European Union. And even in our German Constitution, Article 1 starts with human dignity. That is the very foundation of the German Constitution. So, dignity should be respected and protected. These examples show that there is a strong relationship, or this is made in these documents, between dignity and human rights. It is the inherent dignity of the human person from which the recognition of human rights derives. Human dignity seems to express best the fundamental ethical concern to substantiate all claims for humanity comprehensively. But philosophically, critics argue that it is not clear how dignity functions as the ground of rights, what rights it grounds, and if there is a direct line from dignity to rights. The precision, explicitness, and ambiguity of the concept of dignity is strongly questioned. Also by, say, old thinkers like Karl Marx, he called it an empty phrase, or Nietzsche very nicely said dignity is a conceptual hallucination. So, there is a lot of critics on this concept, although we know, between brackets, that it is very important in many of the religions, but I cannot go into depth about this. So, the controversy is a challenge for empirical research. When we use the concept of dignity, we need a kind of operationalization, and what we have done is using the operationalization of Norderfeld, who distinguished between three meanings. The first is this inherent dignity, which means it belongs to people because they are human beings. Another meaning of human dignity is that dignity is related to social position and rank. And the third one, that it is connected with personal achievement and moral behavior. So we call the second one dignity of moral stature and the third one dignity of merit. Although the inherent understanding of human dignity is in accordance with international covenants, alternative interpretations can exist. We can assume that they exist in social practice and in the mind of people. And research has to show if and if so which concept of human dignity predicts attitudes towards political rights. Well, if we introduce one predictor to explain the attitude toward political rights, we can at the end say yes, it predicts or not, or more or less, but we have no comparison with other possible predictors. So I have invented some more, and that is a well-used belief in the perception of the socio-political context. Now I should describe this concept also, but it is impossible in 30-35 minutes to do that. So I can only mention that I have included these, and they come later, they come back later in tables. I need to add that this is not the result of a brainstorming, so my paper is a bit longer than I can use here. So to use or to select predictors always means to reflect on a possible theoretical structure we can construct between these two variables. So we have an assumption, or statistically said, a hypothesis why this predictor could predict dependent variable, so attitudes towards politics. That is in itself a very interesting procedure to formulate these kind of assumptions. The most interesting thing, I would say, besides collecting data, but I cannot go into depth about these now. So that is very short, we sent about 4,000 questionnaires, so I had a bit more money, so I thought, well, now I start, I push as much as possible in this research. So we sent about 4,000 questionnaires to schools in 40 cities in Germany, so we selected from the map all areas to be most representative in the selection of places, and Protestant and Catholic areas, the East with more non-religious people, etc. The questionnaires we can use are about 2,250. So the conceptual model for this small research is we have the six items, political rights and human dignity, the three dimensions of dignity or different understandings, better to say. I have used a scale of empathy because there is some reason that empathy, the ability of people to feel empathic, can play a role for the acceptance of human rights. I state that, I can explain it also, but I just will state it. And the self-direction, benevolence, security, achievement. Those of you who know the model of Shalom Schwarz, the value theory of Shalom Schwarz, will recognize that we selected here the four cells of his theoretical model. Well, we included, of course, belief, human dignity in theological, in Christian theology. Human dignity is very close linked to the understanding of God, the likeness of man with God, and so there is a deep link between these concepts, and we think that religious belief could also influence attitudes. And religious institution is in how far a religion, a church, should be present in public life, and force certain questions, and then some questions about the law and order means it's a bit the authoritarian character. So what we have, what we need in our country is more law and order instead of all these different people coming in and etc. The opposite is a scale on multiculturalism. It is enriching that we have so many different cultures. It is good that our country is open to blah, blah, blah. And the perception of conflicts in society, are these conflicts, if there are conflicts in society, related to different ethnicities, different religions, different races, etc. And finally, political orientation. So that is what I put into the statistical analysis, and there are just two questions I will follow. The first question is, we can just skip this sheet, what is the attitude towards the political rights, and the second is, in how far do the predictors explain attitudes toward these rights, and the third question is skipped, and that is the differentiation between religions and the non-religions we also have. So, to the findings. I skip also the correlation table, and we'll just show that in this table you have the six items on political rights. The first two are about the right to vote, and you see that the respondents evaluated two of these items, which focus the right to vote, quite positively. Only 10% for the two items in the beginning, only 10% of the respondents choose one of the negative answering categories. So that is not so much. The next two items are about the rights of refugees. Respondents evaluate these items also positively, but the percentages of the two negative categories rose to 16 and 19%, so these groups are a bit more critical, and also the group who is uncertain is bigger. And the two items at the bottom regarding the rights of protest remained at the middle of the scale. Respondents were at the same time ambivalent positive and ambivalent negative about the state should handle these rights. And a brief view on the rest of the scales, here you see that the three concepts of dignity, the dignity of merit, which means dignity is dependent to the appreciation you get from other people. This is rejected, so 5-point answering scale values, 3 and higher are positive, below 3 are negative. So with 2.26, this concept is rejected, but that dignity is dependent to moral behavior. So a murderer can lose his dignity. I mean, that was the philosophical debate over centuries. Do you have dignity although you disbehave in a very strong way? Or is dignity connected that you are doing good things and you don't practice sin, for instance? So this is valued positively. Students think, yes, there is a connection. And then we have this empathy and value things. Interestingly here, and then I stop with this sheet, is that all the scales on religion are answered negatively. That does not mean that this doesn't count, but there is a small group of 15% maybe. We can say that they are moderate or higher religiously affiliated, and not only affiliated, also committed, but for the rest, that there is a big group who calls himself more or less religiously ambivalent or even less or non-religious. And from the other scales, the only law and order is exactly in the middle. So do we really need the strong government, the strong state? So that is very ambivalent in our group. Some think yes, others reject it. But multiculturalism is very positively valued. So it's also to skip. Just to show, I'm very happy that we had a sample which really represents the division of religions in Germany. Catholics, Protestants with about 30-31%. That is also the census. 5.4% Muslims is exactly what we have in Germany. Well, we had, I mean, now 1 million refugees and 80% of them. So this number is, we have to adjust this a bit. Non-affiliation is true for Western Germany, but in the East it is a bit the opposite. Eastern Germany is a former DDR, a federal state. They have 80% non-affiliated, religiously affiliated people. Other religions, 9%, so that is pretty good. And that's the only table I want to present regarding the predictive power of all these instruments. And to understand this, including the sunshine on this sheet, I have now invented in this regression analysis. Simply spoken, regression analysis puts correlation connections in a kind of hierarchical order to be able to define the weight and the strengths of the concepts regarding the attitudes towards political rights. And in the first model, so the first column, we have only included the three understandings of human dignity, and you see that inherent dignity explains with, or that there is a significant better with 0.27, and merit counts negatively regarding the attitudes towards political rights. And you see also that inherent dignity, when you follow the second, third to the fifth column, that inherent dignity is constantly relevant. In the second model, the second column, in addition to human dignity, the value, the battery with value items is included. And there we see that empathy, in the second column, model two, empathy counts. There is a significant better of 0.167. In the third column, religious belief is included. That is the third column, model three. And you see that there is no significant better, nothing. And the fourth column, the social-political perception is included. And here, the law and order position counts, but negatively. Means people who are more in favor that we need the strong state, more law and order, and not this weakness and friendliness to all people who are coming, etc. So that counts negatively. So people who agree with a stronger state and more law and order reject the right to political vote, or are more negative about the right to vote and assembly, demonstration, and refugees, etc. Multiculturalism counts positively. So people who are positive towards an open society and understand the divergency and or heteronomy of different beliefs, worldviews, etc., as enriching, these people support more than others this selected political rights. A political orientation, this negative smaller value means the more people a bit left from the middle, they show more support to these rights, the more they are tend to the right wing group, the less they support these rights. So what is surprising here, that religious belief does not count in no case. And that is not the only result we have in different analysis. Also in the previous project, it was shown that religion, although Enzo Pace made a good or offered good ideas that religions could be a partner in the development of a human rights culture, but the practice is a bit different. So what we can do in the future is to separate higher believers, lower believers. So now when we see this data here, it is a bit disappointing that not only here but also in other analysis, religious belief seems to be a kind of passive or neutral instrument. And it's difficult to believe that indeed this didn't count. So we have to do some more analysis, and maybe also when we have the international data set to do more comparative analysis to find out why that is the case. But the key question, I have no reminder.
Five.
Okay, so I thought I have to come to the end. I mean, I have 30 pages of paper, and I thought at the beginning I skip every third sentence, but then I thought maybe that makes no sense, so I have skipped some pages, but now I'm close to the end. So the question was, what is the importance of human dignity? Because there are philosophers and people, the philosophy of law, they say, well, we have to replace this concept of human dignity by finding values which are really expressing something. And dignity doesn't express something material. So there's a big debate, and therefore human dignity, many theologians are in favor in churches and religions, but when they start to explain dignity with the image of God and likeness of man to God, then secularists don't agree that this understanding is acceptable for them. But at least if people have different understandings but they agree that there is something prior to the positivized human rights, maybe people can agree. So in this case, I was astonished that human dignity, and students had no lecture about dignity before, but that dignity really counts, although it is not the concept which explains most the attitudes towards political rights. So the strongest concept is, if you look to the fifth column on the right side, is multiculturalism. So it is not religion, but it is the perspective on society as an open society, open for people of different races, religions, and backgrounds. That is what counts most to agree with rights of refugees to vote, assembly, and demonstrations. And in the second place, it is human dignity. And if you follow the horizontal line of human dignity, you see in the model one, it explains much more. And when the other concepts come in, so the dignity concept loses a bit of explanatory power. So at the end, we have a better of 14, at the beginning, a better of 20. And that is because the other concepts claim more power to explain these attitudes towards political rights. So this is this slide with the non-religious lorry. I skip it, and when I have 2 minutes, I come to a conclusion. So, political rights are key issues in the human rights discourse, especially in our society at the moment, and mainly maybe the refugee items. And this research has shown that young people, in Germany at least, legitimize these rights, though not fully. Thus, they express some uncertainty, which may be for different reasons, and these reasons are to be taken seriously. Education can focus on the causes of insecurity and can make young people familiar with the importance of everyone having political rights in a world in which millions of people have to leave their country because of war, crime, and discrimination, in which aliens are attacked and in which minorities find it difficult to make their interests public. Some reasons for the ambivalence towards political rights have been demonstrated in this research. Certain perceptions or convictions have a positive effect on respondents' attitudes towards political rights, and some have a negative impact. And the most important predictor for the support of human rights, political human rights, is the positive assessment of cultural diversity in modern societies. And this is a bit contrary to the elections we saw in all over Europe during the last years. And these elections were won by the idea that we should not have too much openness of countries and let too many people in. But maybe young people here have another vision of their country and of Europe and the European society. In the second place, the conviction that all people have an equal dignity and that the idea of dignity must be visible in policy decisions is clear by this analysis. Young people who experience diversity as enriching are strong defenders of political rights. Third, is an important prerequisite for the defense of political right, the concept of empathy. I forgot to mention that. And this is a very personal ability to feel attached by the life of other people and their maybe also their disaster and their fear for future. So this is important for young people. So if they have this ability, if they don't say, "Go out," or "I'm not interested," "I don't know you," or "I don't want you." So if they feel committed that people suffer, the more they do that, they vote for these political rights. Well, on the contrary, a major predictor that has a negative impact on attitudes towards political rights is the perception of crisis in society. I've mentioned that before. Signs of crisis are an overemphasis on civil liberties as opposed to the application of law and order, criticism of authorities, deviance with regard to lifestyles, and too soft handling of criminals. That is combined the content of this law and order perspective. Young people who see public policy at risk because the government pays too little attention to the enforcement of law and order tend not to support political human rights. It is above all political conservative respondents who hold this opinion. Religious concepts are only relevant. The victim of my shortenings. A central question of this research concerns the importance of the concept of human dignity as a predictor for attitudes towards human rights, and therefore we can conclude that the concept of dignity, together with the advocacy of a multicultural society, has the strongest influence on the support of these rights. And these findings do not confirm the view of the critics, namely that human dignity is not suitable as a justification for human rights. Because human dignity is compatible with theological anthropology, a surprising finding of this research is, and I mentioned that religious commitment, unlike human dignity, has no influence. Further research may show what the reasons are, and maybe we, many of us who do theology or sociology of religion, believe and think that religion should have more impact, but in fact it doesn't have. And that is what we have to research in future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.